You have to make sure whatever you're doing, you get back to basics. And if the basics aren't there and you start taking on AI and start taking on this other technology, it's going to get out from underneath you.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with Terry Lawless. Terry is the head of talent acquisition at Stop & Shop. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's start out and chat a little bit about your background. So how you got started in talent acquisition, maybe some roles that you've had leading up to your current role at Stop & Shop, and whatever overview that you would like to provide for the audience.
All right. Well, it was 105 years ago that I got started in TA, and I feel like I've come a little bit full circle, but it was really because I was working in retail, and I was by default in charge of all of the training and the HR and the recruiting. And when I started recruiting, we had no technology. So it was pounding the pavement, and I was in downtown Boston. So I'd go up the street to competitors and recruit people. And I thought to myself, I just want to do this for a living. I just want to recruit people and help them transform their lives. So I started at a temp agency. And that was fascinating. Every time it rained, I knew I'd walk into the phone, 100 messages calling out sick with downtown Boston. And from there, I moved into this really cool role. It was consulting, and it was recruitment process management before what it is today. So we built infrastructure for sales organizations, and we worked with VPs of sales, and we did everything from attraction to onboarding. And I did that for probably about 10 years and loved it. And then the economy shifted and I ended up going into nonprofit education, which was fabulous. And so they needed somebody to scale. They were expanding throughout the country. And I came in and I took over that and scaled from 5 regions to national and learned a ton about education, which was great. Throughout my career, I always felt like I was learning and growing. With nonprofit, finances ran out, funding ran out. And so I went back more to the for-profit side and I went into banking. And after about 5.5 years, I was like, this is not the culture for me. And I had done a lot of work of culture throughout the year. So I was really familiar with how culture impacted engagement. And I wasn't engaged, so I was able to figure out pretty quickly what that was. And then I interviewed here at Stop & Shop. We're a retail grocer. We have 419 stores in the Northeast. We're part of a global brand. And culturally, it was a great fit for me because at the root of what I wanted to do, I wanted to put people to work. What I've learned in my career is people want to work where they live. They don't want to commute 3 hours. They don't want to commute. So I had the opportunity here at Stop & Shop to work with the community and put people who live in the community to work. And it's the greatest feeling in the world. So it was a full circle moment for me. I don't know that I ever thought I'd come back to retail, but it's been a fabulous journey. It really has.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, it is very empowering and exciting to really put people to work and match people to the right job for them. It's such a rewarding experience. I definitely can relate to that and appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Stop and Shop. 419 stores. You're the head of TA. Talk a little bit maybe around what your team looks like, how many hires you do, some of those types of things to help scope your role for the audience.
It's been a role that has evolved in the last 4 years. So when I started here in 2019, there were two recruiters. We recruited for the corporate office and we recruited for store managers. And I was really hired to build some infrastructure and best practice. And it was a big global initiative for the implementation of an applicant tracking system, which they wanted me to oversee. And I was like, this is great. So for the first time in my life, really, I worked for a company that had the best brand in the area. It's deeply rooted here, 100 years old. I was like, oh my God, candidates are falling out of the sky. This is fabulous. I started and I thought we probably need a third recruiter, but I'm going to let this play out a little bit. And I don't know, however many months later, March 15th, the world imploded and we were all sent home. And my role shifted very quickly from two recruiters and sort of meandering through life to we've got to staff these stores. So over my years of experience, I was able to, believe it or not, find 20 contract recruiters. And we were able to just roll up our sleeves and for probably the better part of 7 months, focused on store staffing. And the other piece of it that came out of COVID was e-commerce. So we did have home delivery drivers, but then it imploded. So we were having to hire, I think the number between March and July was 14,000 associates in the store. And what complicated it was we have union associates. And with union associates, you cannot hire temp employees. So it wasn't like we could call the temp agencies and staff the stores. We had to hire people. It was an adrenaline rush for sure. It brought me back to my early days when we were staffing large scale sales folks. So the job started morphing. And then I now have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 recruiters. We primarily focus on the office, the corporate office, and leadership in operations. We also help consult and strategize for anything outside of that. So we'll work with home delivery, for example, and help them with a strategy and sourcing, and we'll give them some resources and that kind of thing. And now, not only has the TA function grown, but talent management's grown. So now we're doing a lot of work around EVP and branding. And I don't know that I would have ever predicted this, but it has been a really enjoyable transformation to be a part of and to watch. It's been great.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds challenging. So as you think about the store level delivery and the delivery drivers, delivery of TA, are those operational? Like, are they just happening in the field now with your support and oversight from a process and tools perspective? Is that how that works?
Yeah. So the stores are responsible for their own staffing. And prior to recently, when we've implemented a new applicant tracking system, we had a very disjointed applicant tracking system that wasn't really used. The stores were really spoon-fed candidates. It was kind of this static site that we had evergreen racks where candidates would just apply and managers would just go on and pull candidates out. Now it's not that easy anymore. So there's a little bit more involved for the stores. We did that implementation in March. They're still responsible for their own staffing. The ware rooms for home delivery are responsible for their own staffing. Mm-hmm. What I'm spending some time now doing is really looking at the nuts and the bolts of process, candidate experience, and really pulling together with this vast amount of data where our gaps are and how we can improve. And that's how we support the stores. We do have a vast amount of candidates. That has never stopped. But what we really need to figure out is, where are the stores that have too many candidates? Where are the stores that don't have enough candidates? And how do we manage that process so that the stores aren't so focused on the marketing and the strategy to attract candidates, but they're able to go about their daily business and do the recruiting on the side?
Yeah, prioritizing that candidate flow and looking at some of those types of things to make sure that the right candidates are flowing to the right geographies and things like that, and that your pipelines are where they need to be. So that's good. A lot of change then from 2020 through 2023, it sounds like. Were there any initiatives other than being able to navigate that successfully that you'd like to call out that you're really proud of that your team's delivered over that period of time?
Some of the things that we've worked on in the last year, we have launched our EVP. So that's been great. We really have done a lot of work in the diversity space. And that's been fabulous because this is an organization that really fundamentally believes in a diversified workforce and the benefits of it. So it's not a fruitless activity for us at all. It's really been fantastic. We've hired a director of diversity that I work very closely with. We partner on a lot of initiatives. So I would say for us, the big bucket initiatives in the last year have been really launching our new applicant tracking system, rolling out our EVP, which I just absolutely love. Our tagline is there's always room at our table. We're an organization that really focuses on combating food insecurity, and we do a lot of work in the community, and then our diversity initiative. So those were the three big buckets this year. And I think at the end of the day, we hit our numbers. We're staffing people. We're a hospitality retail organization. We've had the uphill battle of labor challenges for the most part. But I think we've seen more of an influx of candidate. And I think that's a lot of the work that we're doing with our branding and our storytelling and our EVP. So I feel really proud of that. I really do.
Yeah, those are great initiatives. And yeah, it's no small undertaking to implement a new ATS. Anybody who's in TA that listens to that understands the magnitude of that, along with some other big initiatives like your EVP and diversity initiatives. So those are large boulders for sure that you worked on. So I know we had talked about before we started recording that now is your time where you start doing some analysis and analytics around what's happening. How do we start prioritizing what's next from an initiative standpoint? So what are you seeing there? What kind of things are you looking at for key initiatives going forward?
The most significant, what I'm seeing, is candidate experience. So when I am starting to look at the data, I'm seeing a lot of candidates that are sitting in sort of the new application. They've applied and there's no candidate journey. When I'm looking at the data from in the operations space, so I don't know if that means that they were called and they haven't been moved through the process. So a couple of things that I'm seeing initially are, we have a lot of candidates. We've got to get a handle on where are they in the journey. How are we communicating with them? Candidate experience has always been something that is important to me as a TA leader and should be important to everybody. So I'm seeing that something next year that we're really going to have to dig into and put process in place, because it doesn't matter if your candidate is applying for a VP role or if they're applying for a cashier position. They've taken the time to apply to your organization. They should be acknowledged in some capacity. And it doesn't feel like we're doing our job that I'm aware of, because I'm just looking at the workflow.
Yep.
So I think as I start to dig into the data, I think next year we'll start talking about how do we do a little bit more coaching around best practice. We've got these recs that stay open, evergreens. Do we really now need to start looking at closing them and reopening them? I think that's one big thing. I think the other thing we'll work on is how to create more equity between our open positions and our stores. And we are working on probably looking at programmatic to help with that.
I was going to say that earlier, based on how you were looking at deploying advertising resources against open positions and controlling pipelines, programmatic is a good solution for that, for sure.
Yeah. So we've started that journey. So I think now that we've completed the EVP, going into next year, I think we're going to be ramping up our branding, campaigns, and marketing. We'll probably start a lot of coaching around best practice with our operations partners. That is a big gap. So I think we'll be focused on that. I think that's also going to help us with more of our diversity initiatives as well. As we start digging into, we have so many candidates. Sometimes I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, my head wants to explode. But I think it's all of it. I think it's really looking at our candidate experience, our candidate journey. Do we have the right tools in place for our candidates to feel like they understand our culture? We want people, I know this is so cliche, but I really do believe this. I want people to leave and feel like they were treated so well that even though they didn't get the job, they would refer us. And feel like we work really hard at making a dent in that, but that has to be our North Star going into 2024. Now that we have a handle on the applicants, we can almost see into it. We know we've got a better handle on where our gaps are. So that's going to be a large project for us next year.
Yeah, those are large projects again, for sure. But I like the looking at it a little more operationally to be able to identify where those gaps or those constraints are in the experience and then identifying how to do that through process or tools to get that right. So that's great. You have a luxury having that many candidates and that much candidate interest and things like that, but you definitely want that experience to align with your EVP and have them leave with the brand experience that you want.
Yeah. More is not always better.
Nope.
Not always better.
It is not. No. So let's shift gears a little bit. Last question would be, what's some advice that you would provide for others in the space? So we have a mix of listeners in the audience. Some are individual contributors in TA. Some are TA leaders. Some are HR professionals that kind of interact with TA or sometimes deliver it. And some that are just interested in TA as a potential profession or want to learn more about it. So what's some advice that you would like to share for the audience?
Wow, that's a lot. I could be here until midnight with all the advice I could give. I think I got a piece of advice 100 years ago and I was like, oh, that makes sense because I learned the hard way. I think it's don't bite off more than you can chew. I think when you're looking at your TA function, as a recruiter or maybe a leader or whatever role you play in TA or HR, or if you're looking to get in, I think sometimes you can look across the landscape and become very easily overwhelmed. And it changes so rapidly that it's almost like shiny object. But I would say that you've got to have the fundamentals. You have to make sure whatever you're doing, you get back to basics. And if the basics aren't there and you start taking on AI and start taking on this other technology, it's going to get out from underneath you. So get to the basics. Do you have control over your requisitions? Are you closing them when you have enough candidates? Do you understand what your candidate pool looks like? Do you have a workflow process in place? What is your North Star? Ours is candidate experience. Are you making sure that you're treating people with respect, whether it's the business or your candidates or your peers, and really being candid about what the market looks like? There has to be open lines of communication. And I think when we take on too much as TA folks, because we have a very hard time saying no, it's in our DNA, some of that other stuff falls by the wayside. And when you have the basics and it's a well-flowing process, if you will, then you can start taking on the good stuff. And that's also when you can really start seeing the gaps in the process. I feel like you come in and you're like, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that. But if you don't have the fundamentals or the basics and you haven't written your plan and your process and you really know where you need to focus, it's so easy to get derailed and then everything just starts coming unraveled. I hope it doesn't sound trite, but I do think the fundamentals, and if you're struggling, reach out to your peers. I network with TA peers all the time and I learn a lot. And sometimes I talk to people in HR and they don't know what a workflow is. One of the things that I realized today when I was talking to a couple of people, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're using all this TA speak. It sort of made me back up and realize that sometimes it's also about educating the people that you're partnered with or that you're working with. So I think that's a huge component of success in the TA space is education. I love what I do, and I have to be reminded that not everybody has 20 years in TA or more.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. So just to recap, the first one was laying a strong foundation of the basics and the fundamentals to build off of. I think that's really important in being able to focus on that, focusing your organizations on what matters most and what aligns most to your vision. You talked about that. The part you said, don't be afraid to ask for help. I've been in this space for 28 years, was a TA leader for 18 of those 28 years. And it's surprising to me. Like, I get it. There's so much noise, so much distraction, so many things to react to. And it's hard sometimes for TA leaders to admit that they need help or find time to reach out for help. But it can be really important, and your peers or other providers in the network that are truly there to help can add a tremendous amount of value. The TA leadership role can be lonely in that space, and it's really nice to have peers that are wanting to help you do that. Don't be afraid to do that. And then the final piece he said was, sometimes as you're educating others and things like that, it's important to remember to be a little bit less around the TA speak and keeping it simple so they can understand things and help people get aligned around what you're doing to move it forward. I think those are all excellent pieces of advice for the group. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Great. Terry, thank you so much for your time and sharing your journey with the audience today. I really appreciate you and appreciate you joining.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.